You're listening to the PBE Podcast Network. Be sure to subscribe to the feed on Spotify, Pocket Casts, Anchor, or wherever else you listen to your podcasts. You don't want to miss any great audio content from the Pro Baseball Experience. Now let's get on with today's show.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to season 35, episode 1 of the Void Boy podcast. Today we have with us COG Rampage, whose player is Samson Price, and we'll get into more of that later. And Esty, whose player is Tucker Montgomery, who we just recently traded for from OBX. So I'm excited to have him on board. So we want to take this time to, well, one, we want to start with SD because, I always love to kind of get to know the newer people. Obviously, you know, you chat with them a little bit on Discord and so forth, but, you know, it's nice to kind of, you know, I'm kind of hoping we had a bunch of draftees too. So I was hoping that throughout the seasons, like if they want to do a podcast, you know, I'd love to get to know them a little bit more too. First, how is everybody? This is a Friday afternoon. This is a long weekend in the States, and I took the day off because I felt like it.
You got that extra long weekend.
Yes. Yes, Labor Day weekend. Yeah. And
I don't get that, but today is one of my 2 days off. Tomorrow I have work, but then Sunday I have a day off because I'm going to a wedding, so that'll be great. Fun.
Okay. Mm. Yeah. Hopefully the weather will be good. I was totally supposed to rain, but I don't know. I'm not sure. So anyways, at least for me. But
it says here it's going to rain Sunday, but... This is gonna be rainy like all week, actually. Jesus.
We've been mixing a lot of rain and then big periods of sunshine, then big periods of rain.
You're up in the Boston area, right?
New England. So we get that nice rainy summer, and then once it turns to October, November, we're gonna start getting snow.
Yeah. I went to school in Boston, so I do remember how quickly it turns. And
It goes quick.
So Esty, now this is Tucker Montgomery is your third player in this league. I don't remember the middle one, but the first one is Vincent.
The middle was Kei Fujisaki.
Right.
Reasonable that you forget him because I was... I don't even remember how long I was updating him for. It was not very long though.
Was it like you updated him for like a week or something and then left?
It had to be like a very short time.
That's what I did with my first player. I think it was
first season, I think.
Yeah. I got up to like 140 TP and I was like, yeah, no, I don't have time for this.
Yeah.
I ended up retiring him. I don't even know if he was still playing, but I still put in a retirement. And then, well, now I'm with Samson, and I've been sticking with him past 1,000 TPE, which is nice. Mm-hmm. So,
you've had a, like, statistically a really, like, pretty darn good career, and I'm happy for that. At least, really wish that we could have
at least something.
So Esty, so with your first player, Vincent Avon, how did you come? Were you part of any sim leagues before, or
that was my first time doing any sort of a sim league thing was with Vincent Avon. That was my first time.
Did you recall how you find the league, or how did
it was like
you...
it was a Reddit recruitment post. I'm pretty sure.
The good old Reddit team subreddit.
Yeah, I saw it. I was like, this seems interesting. And then the rest is history.
So the rest is history. I do remember Avon did get called up somewhere.
Vandals.
Vandals. That's, yeah, he did get called up somewhere. I do remember
that. It was
that.
like The problem was, it was like around the time he got called up was around the time I started to go be like less active. Like, because like with Tucker, what was nice is that because he was still in the minors when I had to move and like have to be inactive for a bit, he was still doing good. So like I could be like, well, even if I'm not updating right now, he was at minor cap. So I wasn't doing poorly because of it. Whereas with Yvonne, because I fell off after reaching the majors, it was actively a performance drop.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's...
Which stung more.
Yeah, I mean, even if, you know, like people who are active at that lower TPE stage, it's just, it takes such long time to grind.
It took me two full seasons before I even generated above, like, a singular... point of war. It was so bad. Season one, season two.
Well,
I wasn't negative, but I literally flatlined. That was 0.0 war.
when Price was called up, it was you and Tig who were called up, and
we were both like
I stopped you. Yeah, I mean, like I called you up relatively fast. Like I realize I keep saying I hate doing that. I do that to all the relievers. So like if you're a reliever who gets drafted by New York, you're coming up. I don't care.
We need your arm.
We need your arm because like it's like because you could actually be still useful at you know and like yeah, I mean war wise it wasn't, you know, like much, but you
I mean, I wasn't in the true negatives.
Yeah, yeah, it wasn't like awful, you know. It wasn't awful. We were able to protect you guys enough. Yeah, you guys were you were at replacement level, and it was that like I tried to hide you guys in the back of the pen a bit, and if we had a deeper pen, maybe it would have been better. But you know, we have no money for pen, so
gotta do what you gotta do.
So, but yeah, so. So in some ways I'm doing that with Tucker right now and kind of having hopefully a deeper pen in the next couple of seasons.
Just like, trade it for me. You're coming up, buddy.
You're coming up.
You're not hiding.
You're not hiding. No, there's no hiding for you. This is an OBX. We don't hide people. No. Let's focus on Tucker for a bit. Like what kind of? I mean, I don't even remember with your middle player. Like, do you recall what happened with the middle player, or like why?
I don't really at all. yeah, it was a pitcher.
Yeah, I
do. And that's about all I know. I don't remember anything else.
Well, okay.
It might have been like a sort of like a breaking, like more of a movement based pitcher.
Okay. Junk baller.
I had to go back and look. I don't really remember. I think you were drafted by the Lemurs though. For some reason I do remember it was something like that. And
maybe yeah, I do not. So. I don't remember any of that.
Well,
I got drafted by the Lemurs too.
It was only active. Yeah, I was on Ye Dynamos.
The first player was the Dynamo. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
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 So with Tucker, like what. What brought you back this time then, you know, like what made you recreate with Tucker and kind of like what was kind of your hope for this player?
Well, basically, I don't remember what, I think it was another recruitment post reminded me that the PBE existed. And I was like, huh, it's been a while since I've hung around those parts. Yeah, I got time for it. And then I just sort of made my way back from there.
Gotta love those recruitment posts.
pulling the weight there. Recruitment posts.
Yeah, I mean they absolutely do help. They brought the ISFL out of mediocrity too back in like season 15.
Yeah, yeah, well,
they work.
It works better for ISFL because ISFL has
have a partnership with the main NFL one,
which is huge. And
I assume you guys don't have
the we don't because I think it was our baseball, like they like refused to do it. Like they don't want anyone advertising. They were just being like real jerks about it. And so it never made sense. Like why
does our MLB not work either? And they also.
But
I don't know if our MLB is even a thing.
I gotta double check. I do remember our baseball was like the main one, and it was the biggest. It was the biggest one, and we kept asking and just getting shot down. You know, even with the sub team Reddits,
some are just charitable than others.
Oh yeah, yeah. I think it was. There's a few that were really good to us. Like they're always kind of like, oh yeah, sure, you know, whatever, you know. So. I think the Brewers one was the one of them that was really nice, and that's we always end up with Brewers fans. they're just nicer people up there, I guess.
They ain't got nothing else to do in Milwaukee.
It's cheese. It's a lot of cheese, and it gets cold. So in terms of like Tucker. Like as a pitcher, like what were, like how did you envision him to kind of develop over time, and or you just were just gonna kind of just go along with whatever?
I was mostly envisioning sort of a junk ball pitcher with Tucker specifically, just a lot of you know sort of the pinpoint control, good movement, sort of a Maddox-y kind of pitcher really.
Yeah, it's always a good way to go.
Not focusing so much on velocity, so much as just sort of putting the ball where the bat ain't.
That is
that's the most optimal way to pitch. Throw the ball where the bat ain't going to be.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. All pitching really attempts to do that, just in different ways.
Yeah, just in different ways.
Some with velocity, some with movement. Some I don't know. Maybe you just hit the pitcher in the head. that's technically where the bat ain't.
It's not there, but then they get on base, so it kind of defeats the purpose.
On base on Schmace, I'll just strike the next three guys out.
So
and like one guy in the head every couple of times.
Yeah, that one poor guy. Sorry, buddy, you're the sacrifice.
It's just like some random guy for the other team every game. It's just like Michael Jones or something. And you're like,
just came up from AAA.
That poor guy.
Sorry, you're about to eat a 100-mile-per-hour meatball right in the head.
It's nothing personal. It's literally we just picked your name out of a hat. Nothing personal, buddy.
Yeah, sorry, man. That's just how it rolls this time.
Not a major league, Zarkin.
Welcome to the league. Welcome to the show.
Welcome to the show. Now get out of the game. I know you have a concussion.
Shake it off.
Put some dirt on it.
Oh, God.
So from a baseball, like real, like baseball, like, are you a fan of any team, or you know, you're just a fan of baseball in general, or you don't really care for baseball at all?
I am a large fan of baseball. Specific team wise, my favorite team is usually the Tigers, but they make me sad, so I'm kind of just enjoying baseball as a whole.
So sorry.
Yeah,
I'm really sorry.
That going great.
I'm a Red Sox fan, so we're going through a different kind of pain right now.
Yeah, I also.
Well, but
feel
but
you.
But see, but see, the Red Sox have had success. Yeah, you know, so it wasn't like.
But now
in your lifetime, you have seen them win. Now. You know, yeah. Like
we're,
I don't.
We're in
there's a good generation of Tigers fan who have never. Saw them that's win, true. You know, that like since true. They it was the last time it was 80 whatever or
it was like 86 84
yeah. I said I do feel bad for them, but we're now gonna be in for at least a couple years of rebuild because
I mean at the very least the Tigers made the World Series,
you know,
in 2012.
Who's the Red Sox owner? John Henry, because John Henry's a cheap ass piece of shit.
Yeah.
With one of the most profitable franchises in baseball. Anyways.
Yeah.
Strong words. I apologize.
No. Hey. You know, when your team when your team never, like, this last go around, that I guess didn't quite make sense to me because they never, they, like, they never got that good, or maybe they kind of did, and maybe they were just overplaying, like, and then they traded Mookie away, and then
it's like trading Mookie, fucking, we might, like, I'm so scared we're gonna lose Devers too. I am so scared.
Well, I mean, I don't know why he would stick around for, you know, a lot, you know, that rebuild, you know, it's, I mean, it's,
I mean, he's a play. I desperately want to keep him. And I know we're going to be in a rebuild, but we could probably get there within like 3 years. So he'll still be hitting very, very well. So it's just a matter of, is John Henry willing to pony up the money? Because it's going to be a lot of money.
Well, yeah.
Same with like, sort of the same with Illich, really, for the Tigers. Very much a cheap owner, so
And I mean, he has no right to be cheap either. I mean, literally, Red Sox, one of the most profitable.
This is a big market team. I get, you know, you're not gonna spend Dodger money because apparently Dodgers don't have a stop sign for money.
No, they're just like, just keep pumping it in there.
Like, they're just like, they're printing own money and just like dumping it out there.
The Dodgers have a direct line to mine.
They have a direct line to the Federal Reserve.
They do.
Like, yeah, I need more money. Print it.
Yeah, we're just going to bring in another player that's going to cost $200 million for, you know, and over time.
Fuck it.
Or $300 million now. So.
Another one.
Another one. And So sorry for being a Tigers fan. I'm trying to remember if there's anybody else on the team that's a Tigers fan.
I'm so sorry that you're a Tigers fan. We're all
I think we had a former I think the last Tigers fan that was on the team was a former player. But for whatever reason, we had a lot of Blue Jay fans throughout our time. I don't know why. It just kind of always worked out that way. On the Voyagers, it's kind of weird. So this is something. You have the job in the PBE with the graphics team, the sim graphics team, which is still, I mean, like, it still blows my mind, like the
fast they can get.
Well, the speed at it. So that's one. So forget about the speed. But like the creativity and the ability to generate the graphics and I could do some of that, except it just takes me a long time to do so. So this is why I don't actively participate in it. Aside from the fact that I don't have the time to do it. But you know, even as you know, I see it like every single season. So I guess my question really was like how long have you been doing graphics and how long have you been interested in it and kind of like, you know, where, you know, how did you learn to kind of do graphics for, you know, like.
That's kind of a tough question because I know I've been doing graphics since like my first season.
Mm-hmm.
So
we just
saw. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of stuff that just kind of I know how to do from ye olde days. Kind of stuff I've picked up. For like honestly, a graphics team, each render doesn't take too long.
Yeah, do you guys have like a, because I know in the ISFL, for example, when we were doing draft graphics, Infinite, because he would make a lot of them. Some other people do too, but it's like you have like almost a separate program you can do. Like you have like a card with all of the stuff on it, and then you can put in relevant pictures or whatever. Like what's the process for you guys creating graphics? I'm curious.
So the process is, there's just, it's not particularly involved. There's a sort of a claim sheet. You put your name down to whatever players, and then you claim that many. Usual amount is just whatever percentage of the class. And then as the players get drafted, you just sort of make the render for them. The way I do is I just I'll just find an image of the render somewhere, and then make it work from there. There's a mixture of it's sort of the easier ones. There's kind of two ones you have to do, which is baseball players and non-baseball players.
Yep.
Which essentially comes down to, can you find a picture of this guy with a baseball jersey on or no? Because like if I'm doing like Yordan Alvarez as a player or someone like that, compared to a goat or something.
Someone did complain something today, like about like inanimate objects as a person's render.
it was a Ford Mustang.
It was a Ford Mustang.
I don't know how this Mustang's playing baseball.
That's the thing. It's like but it's hilarious though. So like even like the draft we had last night, like they're I mean like I'm glad I don't look at the PowerPoint beforehand, and so I get to be surprised as everyone else and looking at the renders, and and it's just it's beyond just like I said, beyond just the ability to make it look great. Like there's like it's just, some of it's hilarious. like that's what the creativity behind it was. Like it's like, okay, yeah, your render could be a person, but then you know, like combine that with people's, you know, crazy names, and then you just kind of be able to kind of go off on that and have fun. And so I've always appreciated the team for being able to put that out and have and giving us, you know, like a good presentation. And we've been doing these draft renders for a little bit now. I mean, we, you know, like, so I was always really grateful that we were able to enhance it to that, and hopefully, you know, we'll figure out ways to make it better.
It makes a better experience for the players too.
Seeing
your player on screen talked about, like, it's cool.
It is cool. Yeah. And yeah. And yeah, back in the day, we just had a spreadsheet. we just did a spreadsheet and just kind of went on but I'm glad that we're able to put like people's talent at work, because there are a lot of, you know, people who come through and have the ability to make like really incredible graphics.
Oh yeah, when you have like hundreds of people like in a place like this, you're gonna have some people that are extremely extremely talented at stuff like graphics.
Definitely,
you know. Yeah. So letting those people work, you know, as long as if they want to, obviously, you know, we let everyone volunteer. It's fun, it's great, I love it.
And glad that, you know, like I said before, just having the talent that we've had like coming through that time, and you know, hopefully more will come through and just kind of be able to showcase their stuff. And I'm not like extremely prepared, so so I'm just
imagine
trying.
Having notes.
I don't have notes. What are you, crazy?
I know.
What are you,
I.
crazy?
Note haver. Jeez.
You expect me to be a producer of a podcast? What the
are
heck?
Are you a noter?
I'm a noter.
I
don't know what that is either.
Me neither.
I guess with like this experience so far with Tucker, how would you kind of describe your? I mean, it's not that long, obviously. It's only been a few seasons, but you know, like you were drafted by the Flamingos, and then you were drafted by OBX, and then you were traded here. So that's pretty much the extent of what has happened so far. Like, do you feel? I guess one thing I've seen with people who have recreated is that they kind of figure stuff out from their previous players, and mm-hmm. do you feel like you have more grasp of this now, or how to league, you know, like how to kind of navigate the league and be able to be successful, whatever that means to you, you know? So
mm-hmm. it definitely feels like it's easier now that I have like that experience from my other creates, just in terms of like compared to what I knew when I was like Vincent, it's mm-hmm. it's definitely a lot, just sort of between the various, you know, outlets of money. It is true also that things have changed a lot since those first seasons, but not like too much. There's nothing like where it's I have to relearn something that I thought was vital or anything like that.
Yeah, but so, it's just like you have, like, you know what you need to get done, and you know where it mm-hmm. where it gets done, so it's a lot easier to kind of, you know, just have everything done, essentially. Yeah. You know,
it's definitely, it's gotten easier now though, especially with the bots that have been in place.
Oh yeah, a lot of new, like, Discord bots, a lot of extra tools, like there's an update tool on the main site now. Don't have to worry about that. I still do mine manually, just because that's how I've done it in ISFL for 2 years.
It's very,
that's how I've been doing it here.
I enjoy, like, sometimes I kind of look through people's, like, update pages, and you can always tell the ISFL people, because there's, like, a format that they use, and you're just like, oh no, they're from ISFL. I'm pretty sure of it because it looks like it, and but
I make my update page a little bit fancy, but like I pretty much just like change the, like, format the updater tool thing a little bit differently, so it's not just plain text.
I was really glad of the updater tool, because I used to do it manually too, and then once the updater tool came out, I was like, oh nope, no more math.
I still do the math, because I do the math.
I don't remember what season Avon first came into. I think the updater tool was there, but a lot of the Discord bots weren't.
Yeah, well, the Discord bots were kind of relatively recent. The bank bot's been around for a little bit. This is the other iteration of it. Now the PBE bot is completely new.
I think the bank bot was the only bot.
Yeah.
In the days.
Yeah.
Because now they have like the bot that has this one, like the PBE bot, where it's just like everything pretty much. Like,
yeah, that came out last season, that was actually really useful.
Yeah, that one's really useful. Like, that was one of the ones where I saw it and I was like, man, I wish that was a thing when, like...
Oh, it made, yeah, it definitely makes life so much easier. I think, go on, yeah.
Just especially, like, you don't have to, like, go looking through. But, like, if you're doing, playoffs predictions or anything like that, we have to respond in there. It's like, oh, I don't remember if I did it or not, and... Yeah, I think there's a search function. I don't know if it works for usernames, but also,
well, I don't even look for search, because the search on JSync sucks.
Oh yeah, it's terrible.
It's terrible. Like I can't find anything, and half the time it gives me an error. And
so if you just go like, because like if your message is just done or something mm-hmm. like that, where everyone else is,
and everybody's like, exact same message, yeah.
I don't feel like looking through this.
To the same message.
Now you can just go like exclamation mark you. Oh yeah,
it's brilliant. But what I did was, actually, if you go to your, I generally just look through. If you go to your profile, go to options and go to like find members posts, it will list all your posts. So I mean, I assume, you know, like for me it's a little hard, because I actually post a lot of stuff because of GMing and other stuff. But like for everybody else who really only posts, you know, for your activities, you could probably find that really easily. But that's how I kind of made sure in the past. But yeah, that bot is great, because it kind of sift through and find your posts and so forth, and just makes it something so much easier. It's like, oh, did I do it or not, you know? And so I know we And this is just a shout out. This is Hungry Villager, who is Danny Sullivan on Seattle. He's the one who created that bot. So I know we asked him for like a few other things, like it would be like, I think he was looking into if the bot would have linked the task itself, so you don't have to go find it afterwards. I think we asked him that. I don't know how far he got with that. But yeah, it's just great that he was able to do that, and mm-hmm. made life easier. I can say that I was looking. I'm looking forward to having you on the team. I mean, when OBX said that they didn't have room for you, I was like, oh, you know, I'll take a person.
Yoink.
I'll take a person. As my goal was kind of to as New York, our last core kind of got older. I've seen, you know, there's a lot of retirement over the past, like, you know, 3-4 seasons, just as people got deeper into regression, and so I have a chance to kind of retool the team.
Time to retool and reload.
Retool and reload. That's you know, and so like with that, like you're you know, like you're part of that retooling with these S30 plus people. You know that's you know. That's me, Kobe, Punk. We signed Stratley, who is season 30 also, and then we also have we just drafted the season 35 people who have we had 5 draftees from that, and so I'm really excited. Like in the long run, like being able to reload this team for a run later on, and hopefully we'll still be competitive during this time. And but I personally as a like I mentioned how hard it was, like before we started recording, like I mentioned like how hard and stressful it can be with GMing and but this is the part where I really find the most fun was to see people develop throughout time, you know, and you know like I had, you know, we, you know, I saw that with our season 27 draftees, which Price, Tig, and Shadows, and they're integral parts of the team, you know, in our success, and I've seen them develop over time and got better, and that, to me that's the most fun of it all, and while it takes time, you know, it definitely very rewarding to see that, and I'm hoping to see that with you. I'm hoping to see that with you know with the draftees that we had, and so it's exciting. So you know I get a little giddy about that. So that's just me. That's why I GM. But I guess we're at 30 minutes. Oh okay. We're making good pace.
Good progress.
Good progress. So I guess CLG, I guess we could turn to you because this is your time to shine. So I think one of the things that I've said was really hard for me, I said to a few people, I was just really disappointed and sad. So with Samson Price, you drafted you back in season 27. Mm-hmm. I want to say pick number 29. But I could be making that number
second
up.
Second round.
Second round. It was a second round. So the story behind that was that we actually had pick number 3 that season for the draft. It wasn't our pick. It was actually Maui's pick that they traded to us the season before, which we had one target for that pick, and we knew we weren't going to get him because it wasn't first overall, and so. Yeah. So I always knew that it was my first season as I wasn't the GM. I was the interim, well, not even interim. I was the shadow GM because that was a transition year where Babs stepped down as GM, Pax and Sivart were the interim GM because I wanted to have one season on Kansas City to kind of transition things over to the Knicks GM. But I was kind of the shadow GM from that. And so we had the third overall pick, and I was like, okay, well, we didn't get Slothface, which was who we wanted. And it was Slothface or bust. That's really what we all agreed to. Well, I mean, not everybody else was bust, but you know, like we just, because Sloth was here before and we love him to death and we really wanted him back. But we knew it wasn't going to be the case. He was going to be first overall and Seattle took him. And so then we put the pick on the block and we had not that many offers, but we got to Maui, who had a few other picks. And so we ended up trading. It was 13, 15, and 29 for that pick number 3. Mm-hmm. Now, which to some was like, oh, that's a big drop, you know, which is kind of true. But we got 3 picks out of that. And at the time, we had like, we've been trading picks off left and right to kind of a win now thing. So we had like, we haven't had picks in a while. So we ended up getting Bark Bark Wolf Ruff, which is Shadows.
Yep.
O'Sullivan, which is Tig, and you.
Yep.
And
hi.
And I always I was like, wow, that is amazing for us. You know, like we turned that number 3 pick, which was just one person, into three players who are
three players who are now
over 1,000 TPE and have been like has been a big reason why we have been winning. You know, like it wasn't, you know, so yeah, it was so I look back on that draft very fondly, you know, but the sad part is that at one point, you know, like as time goes on, is that people cost more and the question is just how do you navigate through that. And a few seasons back when the cap dropped, when they announced the cap was going to drop, I knew that, you know, well, not everybody can come back. That's just not a reality. And so I told you that, you know, at that time that there's a chance that we can't sign you. And I wanted to make sure that you were tamperable. So you get a head start out of it. Even if
I got that. You told me like early S33, right?
Something like that. Like
somewhere around. Like,
yeah. As soon as
S33.
Yeah. So when the cap dropped, Jimbo and I basically, the funny thing is that we had this whole plan, like before season 33, we were like working on it and kind of get all the finances straight and figure out, you know, what we're going to do. And then they're like, oh yeah, by the way, you got to drop the cap. And we looked at our sheet and we're like, oh, that's not right. I don't think we can afford this. So we had to scramble and kind of rework this a bit. And the reality is that originally going to drop at 10 mil one season, which like was like, okay, that's just ridiculous.
That would have been brutal.
That was like, okay, you can't even cut people fast enough, you know, for that to happen.
Yeah, at that point, you literally have like 30 people, like active people on the free agent
market. So then they split it up. It was 5 and 5. 34 was the first 5. So we dropped from the soft cap being 128 to 123. And then this season has dropped to 118.
Mm-hmm.
So we were still able to fit you in last season at 123. Yep. And I don't even remember how. I know how. Okay, yeah.
Through a lot of cocaine.
It's a lot of cocaine. No, we luckily and my original plan was like, okay, I guess I was like, you know what? It's gonna be 34. I always kind of describe it as when I say it was a step back year. It was I really meant it as I'm not gonna go nuts trying to trade everything and try to be over the cap. I wanted to keep all the draft picks, and I wanted to stay under soft cap. And we were able to sign, it was 2 seasons ago. We were able to sign, Adam Rage, yep. Mr. Mom. who was at relatively lower TPE. Originally, I was going to just sign an IA, but then like I figured out that for whatever reason, Sarasota didn't re-sign him. So I was like, oh, okay. Well, you're active. You're alive. You want to come here and play?
You want to play baseball?
You want to play baseball? Sure, come. So he's been great for us in the locker room. I love having people. You know, so it's like, oh, you know, he's great. And so we were able to do that and we got you back last season. But the reality is that like unless I made other moves, like, and I told you exactly what was happening. I was trying to trade off some stuff to but even then, like, I probably wouldn't keep you, but free up cap space. But even then, it still would have been season 35, and that's it, you know, because I have no more moves after.
Pushed it back a season.
Yeah, just pushed it back a season, and I already knew that because both the cap drop and just the fact that at this time, I was trying to get those draft picks, and I had to re-sign draft picks too, it kind of made it hard to shuffle around, and unfortunately, so for you, which I was hoping is that a team who may have had cap space could have signed you. Didn't happen.
Not yet.
Nope. And that's like, and I can't. I'm not here saying, oh, yo, your other GMs are bad. No. This is nobody. You know, not their fault. You know, like they got to do what is best for their team, you know,
they understand their team. I'm not going to criticize the GMs individually. I'm just disappointed. You know, this is my peak season. I finally truly joined like the elite reliever club, you know, almost 3 WAR up easily for relief pitcher of the year. And now I'm probably going to spend the next season on the couch.
Like it's insane to me. I don't want to say you're the only one. You're not the only one. I could look in the compendium for free agents right now, and there are other relievers not signed. Now, granted, there's Boise who needs to re-sign a bunch of people, so I don't know what they're gonna do yet. But even then, it's like. I don't have an answer for it. That's the problem. Like, it's not like I sat here. It's like, oh, I have this great, you know, plan and nobody's listening to me. I don't, you know, like I don't have a solution for it. And that's what like upsets me even more. It's rough enough to know. And it never got easier because like when I became GM at one point, with Kobe's last player, I realized I couldn't sign him like after, you know, a season 20, whatever it was. And I felt awful having to tell that to people, but at least like, oh, okay, maybe they could find another team and that'll be like, okay, that's fine.
At least they still get to
play. Well, Kobe never did find another team and he retired. So that was, so this is kind of the same thing, but yeah. You know, it's just all weird to me, you know, I don't even think that we could, I don't think there are a team that could even do a sign and trade, you know, even if, you know, and so forth, because it's just, they don't, like, the cap hit is just too much.
The only solution, well, even this, it's not really a solution. Like, potentially, I could move into rotation and change to a starting pitcher, but I don't have the money for that. I'm not like some hyperactive media writer. I don't make I don't make graphics, so
it also doesn't make sense for you as you're entering into regression.
Yeah.
You know, like people don't change into a starter as they get closer to regression. That's not how that works. And
yeah, they change relatively early.
Yeah, and or middle of the way and so forth. Yeah. And they change back to a reliever because it's better utilization of TPE.
Uh-huh.
But the thing is just like, even if that was the case, it was still a cap problem. It's still a cap problem, yeah. You know, like, so a cap problem either way. It's just that they're Yeah, you know, we mentioned Nashville before, and you said that Nashville reached out to you. Vancouver reached out to you. Vancouver is in a weird spot. They're in a weird spot, and it's like
right now they can't get over the hump.
They had some setbacks from the last build, and they just couldn't. I mean, they made it to the playoffs, but they never really peaked out the way they were hoping. And with a new regime coming in, I think they are planning to kind of retool and rebuild.
Yeah, that's what Dr. K told me.
Yeah, and
because he stepped down.
Yeah, so from their standpoint, I understand that it's like it didn't make sense for them to bring in a
reliever that's going to cost like $9 million a year.
Yeah, and it will bring them over a threshold too, because I did talk to Ted Stern, who is the new Vandals GM, on a trade and stuff, and they're like, yeah, we like, unless like, you know, money matches, you know, like there's no reason for them to go over the, you know, a certain threshold. And they were very close to it. So unless they shed some money, but then where are they going to shed that money?
Yeah.
So
how are they going to?
They can't shed money. And so it goes the other way too. So some of the rebuilding teams are hoping to trade off some people for except they can't. I know Cancun is one of them. It's like, oh yeah, we have all these players. Yeah, they're in regression, but they still hire TPE. They're very much worth it to your team. Oh,
No. No, nobody can sign them.
There's nothing. so they're kind of in limbo too, and so this is where for me, I was always on the fence on the cap drop, because there's a part of it that I understood. You want to try and more evenly
distribute talent.
You don't want people, the good teams, to just keep getting. You know, people, yeah, they shouldn't be able to afford everything.
Right now, I mean, the Sloths, Sea Serpents, they very clearly are above everyone else.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
And you want
to try and spread that out a little bit.
Yeah.
Right.
Seattle more so. In the sense is that when they were the expansion team, their route was to front load. Like ridiculously front load everybody, which was the way to go. So by the time they hit their peak, these people are cheap.
They were all stupid cheap, and you could just bring in more firepower.
Yeah, more firepower, or you can reload with the next draft class in the same way. So that system kind of works, but you kind of have to be a crappy team to do so. So like, if you're never a crappy team,
you
have to lose a lot at some point. So like, we couldn't do it because we haven't. The Sloths couldn't do it either.
Literally been above 500 every single season I've been here.
Since you've been here, we have not won less than 60 games. Now that's I want to preface that with everybody is that that's very hard to keep up, especially, you know, so
yeah, that can't really last forever. So,
but you know, we have been able to do it, and we have had success doing it. And the problem is that, like, you couldn't reset your finances in a way that would be more team friendly. And the Sloths had the same problem too, because if you look at their contract and the way they do it, is that it's very actually balanced across. They do try to front low a little bit, but really in the end it's just kind of straight across, or they just find different ways of kind of balancing out from each year, and eventually they have to either trade off people or really not resign people either, so they are in the same boat. Just Juoso had this incredible system where she's able to draft really well and manage her finances really well, where she never needs free agency. She never really needs to trade for anyone, and so forth. And the theory is that the lower cap will force them to lose a player or two as well. And then maybe bring up, you know, and help bring people up from the minors. And I think in theory it's good. I just don't see how practically it really works, because like this is, I think, as competitive we all are, you know, the PBE and other sim leagues, this is a community, you know.
Yeah, first and foremost, honestly, most people pick their, a lot of people pick their teams based on what the locker room is like. That's how I feel about it. Mm-hmm. I want a team with a strong locker room. New York has that. The Vandals had that, as far as I knew. Nashville probably had that. But it's like, people, when a lot of your time in this league is spent in Discord servers, just mm-hmm. chatting to people, people want those Discord servers mm-hmm. to be good.
Yeah. And so you know, that's where the community comes first. And I get you don't, this is where I kind of get stuck in the middle, because it's like, well, if you lower the cap, you're going to force people out. And I don't see how that's fair to those people. And you know, like, if nothing happens, and obviously there needs to be a salary cap, and I think everybody understands that, you know. Yes. So at one point, you know, like, you can't fault anyone for, okay, at one point we just can't sign certain people. We can't have a team of, like, all 1,800, you know, TPE guys and be afforded that. You know, that's impossible. And that, nor should it happen. But you know, for people who wanted to be somewhere and they can't, because we did something to force that issue, that's kind of like,
that feels infinitely worse.
Yeah, that's what it comes up.
It's not like a natural progression of a team just getting mm-hmm. too many big contracts mm-hmm. and then somebody has to be the odd man out. Mm-hmm. It's artificial. That's what makes it feel bad.
It makes, yeah. And so, and this is where there's a rough part, is that if I try to take all my feelings out of it and try to look at it as objectively as possible, I understand why it needs to be done. I still, in my head, don't think it's practical, because the disparity comes down to how teams are run, or they were ran, and some teams just needs time to build that back up. And I get, you know, like you want to try to get the league to have the parity, so people know that, hey, I could play for anybody, I just need to wait a little bit and the team will get strong again. You know, it should be like that. And if it's not happening for a while,
questions need to be asked.
The question comes down to is it
league based?
Is it league based,
or is it management
based? Yeah, and it has been talked about before, and you know, like, I don't have the full answer. I think it's a combination, a little bit of both, but you know, but there are teams that
this is sort of where the PBE, you know, goes away from real baseball, right? Because we don't have owners necessarily. Yeah. So you're not just going to get rid of a GM who's being active, who's trying their best, mm-hmm. But maybe the results just aren't there. That's just not something we can do, because straight up, there just aren't. Not everyone's willing to be a GM for very understandable
there's that, yeah. And we have had GMs because there is HO who can step in if.
Oh, yeah.
GM incompetency and that's
entirely different from, like, underperforming, you know. That's if the situation gets, like, really, really bad.
Yeah. And so, you know, not to, you know, throw any teams under the bus, but, you know, we have seen over the past X amount of seasons where teams, it just never happened for them and they stayed at the cellar. But then, you know, like, I think, you know, the concept of that people will sign with other teams and will balance it out, it doesn't work, because if I was a player and I was on a really good team and then now, okay, they ran out of cap, I can't sign, okay, Well, am I close to Hall of Fame? Do I have a shot at that? I have the people probably don't know how many more seasons do I really want to go with this player? I don't know. And then so it's like, yeah, there's some who's like, okay, yeah, sure, I'll play with you guys.
There's some who will stick it out.
Yeah, some who will stick it out because, but, you know, just like, hey, you know, I feel like, you know, hey, there, it seems like, you know, it's you know, even though the team sucks, you know, they have a good locker room. Okay, yeah, sure, you know, why not? I'll play for a season or two. But then there are other ones who are like, well, yeah, I might as well recreate, maybe, you know, like,
yeah, it's like, or it's like, you know, oh, maybe I was on pace to break some kind of record with my current team, you know, like I can perform really well with them, but now, you know, I'm in a bad team, and it's like, man, like my numbers are probably going to drop in some specific category, and like, what am I going to do?
Yeah, like why would I grind for that? You know, like it's one thing because. Even if they say, oh, yeah, you know, like we're up and coming. Well, yeah, you may be up and coming like 3 seasons from now. I'm only going to play for 2 more. You know? So what does that matter to me if you're up and coming? You know, like, just, you know,
like in real life, it's different because like, oh, yeah, this is my one shot at being baseball good or whatever.
Yeah, well,
you have a reason to aspire to that because you're not going to get you can't recreate in life.
No, you can't.
You can recreate in the PBE.
Yeah, you can't start over.
Yeah, you can't start over. There's not an option.
You can completely reset in the PBE.
Well, here, yeah, that similarly, you get to reset. So, but in real life, the other thing is that money actually matters because if you're saying, okay, I mean, I don't want to pick on the Tigers here, because, but you know, let's say I don't have, and the Tigers want to sign me and nobody else. I'm like, well, I'm not going to retire because I don't want to play. It's like, hey, the Tigers are offering me like, you know, $20 million to pay.
Yeah.
Because that money means something, you know. It's like, hey, no problem, man. Yeah. $20 million, $20 million, you know. Like, but you know,
no,
like,
matter what team it comes from,
you know. But here, well, the money is fake, and yeah, you could say, okay, I want to play and, you know, gather that money so I could help my Knicks create. But how, you know, realistically, you know, like
realistically, most like, a lot of people who are gonna who are gonna recreate. Like a couple of times, let's say 3 players. Usually, they're either going to have PBE jobs, which gives them supplemental income. They're going to make articles, which also gives them supplemental income. They're going to make graphics.
Yeah, right? they're not going to worry about that. Yeah,
through contracts.
Yeah. So I mean, well, I mean, yeah. So Summer League itself, the whole point is that the contracts don't actually. They pay for very, you know, a portion of it, but it was never meant to.
They can pay for, like, your training, and then that's kind of
it.
Maybe you'll have $1 million or 2 over at the end of the season.
Yeah, but that's what it's for. So it wasn't meant for people to sustain themselves on that. So it's kind of like
max earners and all that.
So then, there's no point in that to continue on. And so then people retire and so like, well, like I mean if they're all recreating, okay, fine, we just got the next generation of you know of the league, but there's no guarantee, you know, like those people. Some are like, people, well, I still want to win a ring, you know, I haven't won a ring, and I can't, I don't have that chance now because like you don't the league itself, it doesn't, you don't go from bad to good in one season.
No,
it doesn't work that way.
Yeah,
you know, like it's a progression. It always
seasons
is
to really become elite, except in like, unless you get uber lucky, it's gonna take you a little bit.
Yeah, so then if let's say a team who won 30 games last season wants to sign you, well, as much as I would like to think that my player is the world's greatest, I'm not generating 30 wins for them, you know?
No,
so,
at most,
so,
you might generate an extra, like, 2 or 3.
Exactly. So then that means that, you know, like I'm going to be on a losing team. And like, even though they may have, like, and yeah, maybe they have, like, you know, a great locker room and stuff. So maybe, okay, you know, then I don't care. And, you know, it's fun to be there. But a lot of times, they're not at that stage yet.
No, those kinds of teams often are quite barren, unfortunately.
Well,
know,
yeah, I mean, like that's kind of
quiet.
The, yeah, they do. You know, so which, yeah, I mean, it's hard to it's hard to generate like a
activity
good locker,
when
your team
is
not good. I will give this like I have seen the Sarasota. I am in the Sarasota locker room all those seasons. Like in all fairness to them, they had a pretty active locker room. Like for a team that were terrible.
Effectively awful.
They're awful, but they had a good like active locker room. So I give them a lot of credit for that.
Again, that kind of circles back to thing about management, right? Like good management, even if you have a bad team results wise, it can make up for a lot. You know, you can have people that are passionate about it, that are still willing to rally the troops, as it were.
And I mean, that was kind of the case when I was drafted to New York. New York went into full rebuild after season 12. So that team was like barren and it sucked. And I had the pleasure of being there, not realizing at that time was the first piece to their rebuild. And I never knew that. But the locker room was active, you know, to Paz's and Bab's credit. They did such a good job, because I think that I always said, like, you know, I was active because of New York, you know, I guess we never really stunk that bad. Because looking back at the records, like we weren't like terrible, terrible, but definitely, you knew that, you know, like
team?
It was 40, it was in the 40. So it was, I don't think we ever dipped below 40 something. So it was still respectable.
Still
it wasn't
not amazing, but you were still like, you were close to 500.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I knew at that time, like it would take time before you're legitimately contending for anything. You know, so I think in my mind that, you know, once if people have that understanding, they'll just kind of let's stick it out and chill and see what happens, you know, and that's what Seattle did. You know, that's the hardest part, because to try to sell everybody on a plan and to wait 5-6 seasons for it to come together, that does take a little time, and Seattle did a great job with that, because you know they were terrible, but you know everybody stuck around and then you know look at them now. That's not the case for every place else, you know, and if I'm at regression or deeper into it while my players still could have been good,
I could be a positive WAR player, but am I really gonna be that good?
I mean, like then it's just like you know, I might as well recreate and have fun, you know, with the Knicks create and try to do other
start
stuff.
Over, yeah. Get potentially
and
be
so,
even better.
So then that doesn't balance out the league. I mean, at least not at that time. I guess you could say the bad teams will draft you and then all those bad teams will have the good players. But then that would have been the case anyways, you know,
just shifts who's good, which is like
you didn't need to drop the cap for that because your draft would have ended up the same. Okay, you know, even if I play out a few more seasons and then I recreate, does my value of my next player differ? No. If bad teams are trading away all their assets, and then all the good teams have high draft picks, well, that's not a cap problem.
Yeah,
that's a GM problem. So I mean, like we had that a few seasons ago where DVS, who literally won the World Series, had the number one draft pick.
Yeah,
or Seattle for that case too.
Someone is missing something.
For Seattle, so all that, you know, like it, the parity, it comes down to how people GM, and there are GMs who are way more hardcore. That's for sure, and they'll always have that advantage because they would put more time and effort into it. And again, you know, this is league for fun, so I would never fault a GM for kind of taking, you know, to not going completely gung-ho and spending every waking moment on it, you know, like, hey, you got a life, you know, like, so, you know, but that doesn't make them bad GMs, you know, it just, you know, so it's just that maybe, you know, the other one who has more time just may get a slight advantage. That's all, you know, and, but I think, so yeah, I mean, I don't even know if there's like, I think this is just our complaint fest, and I don't think there's anything that really can be done, at least in the short term. Well,
yeah.
Because the reality is that the problem with Sim League is that your salary is based on TPE, min salary is based on TPE, not really like
value,
the value as a player. So like in real life, yeah, a reliever gets paid less than a starter because that's just how it always is. So you could always get cheaper relievers.
Relievers just play less innings. You know. But like imagine being like 1500 TPE player and you're still like not amazing. Like let's say you're a 3 WAR player or whatever total. Mm-hmm. That like how much would a 1500 TPE player go for? Like 12 million?
Minimum? No, it's less than that.
10 million?
15, I think it's 10. I think 15 is 10.
Okay, but like, and then you have like a 900 TP player who somehow generates like 6 WAR. Let's just go theoretical.
I mean, that happens because, you know, the sim luck and it seemed randomness and actually builds and stuff. You know, it happens.
It's like those players, you know, it doesn't matter what your performance is in the sim. Obviously, it shouldn't because the sim is random. But still, it means that the contracts are fundamentally different.
Yeah. So
and there's very little we can do to change that.
No, because in the end, it's like I don't know how you could set a min for that either. Because it's like oh, if you get X amount of WAR, you know, you have to pay the player that much, you know, in free agency, you know, and that might not be the way to go either, because, you know, like
the problem with that is sim luck. Like if someone has a, I don't know, 2 WAR season, you sign them, then they all of a sudden they have like a 6 WAR season. It's like, oh, okay, well, I don't have the money anymore. Bye. And it's like, oh,
well, yeah, you really saw, yeah.
Player I signed for like X amount of, I just want to sign for a season, see if they improve, and
I mean, that's a fundamental
those
problem.
Those kind of deals don't exist in PBE, you know, because they can't really, unless you're banking on someone trying to improve their earning. Like if they're a max earning player, like,
well, max earner will always get the long term deal because they're over, even in the current system, they're over earning their the TPE that is expected, because it's only so the way the contract works is that it's just a straightforward contract. Is that how they calculate it? Is that season one is based on whatever your current TPE is. The next season is 150 TPE over what your current TPE is. Now, 150 is what if is not a max earner. It's a good earner.
It's a good earner.
It's a good earner.
They do most of the basics, but I assume they don't get equipment.
I think for you to get to 150, you have to get some equipment. Not Hall of Fame equipment. So you're talking about someone, I guess they, you have to hit on everything if you don't get the equipment. I gotta recalculate that, but that would be, you know, someone that you could rely on, and from a long-term contract standpoint, you generally want to sign people who you think can earn over 150 per season, or else it might not be worth it.
Yep.
Just from a purely, you know, value standpoint.
Yeah, for like long term.
From long term. So you know, for everybody who's under that, that's generally you're better off going from season to season, because and there are ways so and I forgot my point, but
it's really hard to fix contracts.
Yeah, and I don't And it's been talked about because it is an actual concern. It's just like, well, beyond just people not being able to sign, it's just like, well, should you know, lower TPE player be cheaper? Should the higher TPE player be more expensive? And how do you balance that out again? And I wish I could say I know.
There's no way to change that fundamental point. Yeah.
So I know we have also brought up like, well, what if you can't sign relievers for cheaper? Like, but then like, it comes down to, well, what if you sign them and then they decide that
I want to be a starter.
Or they need them a starter. What happens in the middle of the contract then? Does the contract get voided? because you know, like, teams need to adjust for that too, because part of that is, you know, things happen, you know, like you could have a rotation set, but then that person, you know, one other person become IA and you know, God forbid, falls off the face of the earth. And then so now you're like, okay, I have a really good earning reliever and I need them to start. You know, that's what we did with Tig. I actually never thought that Tig would start. Like in my mind, I always, when I drafted Tig, I was like, yeah, I think he's going to be a reliever. And then like, I remember having a conversation with him. I was like, dude, you're earning like really well, because this previous player was also on the Voyagers, but he like peaked out at like 700. And he did start for us though, which is the funniest thing. Like if you talk to Tig, like his first player was like goated, because for whatever reason, he was like really good compared to what his TPE was. and he just kind of did whatever we did asked him to do. And that was part of, like, we were so happy to have Tig back, was because he was just like, yeah, sure, I'll just do whatever, I just want to be here, you know. And I love him for it. And he was like, yeah, I'll start, you know. And he's been good as a starter too. But then, you know, what happens if that's the case, you know, like, I don't know if there's like a full way to kind of do this properly. To
balance that, yeah.
You know, like, yeah, and that's where like, I mean, they're still being, I mean, it's being talked about, but then I don't think anyone has really come up with any concrete ways, because there really isn't, and that's kind of the, if you raise the cap again, which probably it should be, but then what will happen, you know, like, you know, you're back to the original argument of like, well, you know, teams like San Antonio will just keep loading back up again, you know, and they'll never drop, you know, and
yeah, we want to all that stuff.
So
it just sucks. It sucks to be caught up in the middle of it, you know?
Yeah.
I'm going to say this. I've done nothing wrong. The only crime is that I've earned too much TPE. To be not viable, but basically like you, plug and play as a reliever.
I think, you know? Like, you're that mid earn. Like, that was the argument. It's like the mid, like the slightly lower to mid earning guys.
The 1,000 TPE to like 1,300 TPE.
Like,
guys.
And this happens more for relievers, because most people who, you know, like a lot of relievers are more mid earners, because they, you know, and so forth. And there are mid-earning bats that kind of got shuffled out there. That's for sure, you know. And yep.
It would affect mid-earners the most.
Really, yeah, it really is. People... It's like, in the end, it's like the mid-earners are the ones that kind of suffers for it. And that's kind of like, well, that's not right, you know. Like, you know.
Yeah, like, why me? You know, what did I do wrong? You know, so, but yeah, it's just
it's just terrible timing, and you won't, the sad part is that you won't be the last one. So next season there'll be somebody else that gets shuffled out there, and until, like, you know, maybe things change in Maui where it's like, okay, we're just gonna.
We can make the space work.
Yeah, because there are, you know, a decent amount of IAs that you know, certain teams have, except a lot of times they kind of extend them early because they don't know they could get those free agents, and they'd rather have a team. But then, and they don't want to have to sit around and try to, outbid another team for IAs, but then I'm like, who is fighting, you know, with you for IAs? I really don't see that happening, but you know what, whatever. So I hope that, you know, those other teams may be able to kind of like, okay, you know, let's make some room and see if we could scrape up, you know, some you know, I'm not saying, you know, go sign yourself every free agent, you know, while you know your team is rebuilding, so then you get better and get a worse pick. That's not what I'm saying. Like, I don't think signing like one or two people.
Yeah, one or two free agents is not going to move the needle.
Is not going to, you know, and
you might win a couple more games, but that again, that's not really.
To me, it's just like I think that was what somebody else was talking about. Like, well, you know, like I could have signed, this top pitcher, or, you know, but then it's just like, well, one, you know, I am rebuilding. Why would I, you know, like, I don't want to have to risk lose, you know, like if it comes down to it, you know, like if it's only a few games difference, you know, well, that's still between like maybe, you know, number one overall pick versus number three or four. And I was like, I mean, I'm not going to argue with you on that, but to me, it's like, I don't think it makes that much of a difference to me.
Like, unless the class is incredibly narrow, like maybe you have
but even then, it's very rare that you're talking about your top picks here, you know, like,
yeah. Like what's the difference between the number one and the number four earner? Like maybe 30 TP?
I mean, you're still getting a max earner there. I mean, it's so rare that you only have one max earner in the entire class. That's impossible.
Yeah.
Like you have enough people recreating
have recreates or you have some super passionate new people.
Like, yeah. And that's where, you know, I think yeah, those super passionate people. And to me, I actually think there's a lot of value in the lower picks too. And I still believe that we can find people like not in the first round. I don't particularly need the first round to do. And I think,
yeah, because you only have one.
Plenty
of draft
left. So yeah, you know? I think we have overall drafted better outside of the first round. in recent seasons. So
SMH Enoch, you can't even draft in the first round.
I can't even draft in the first round. It's terrible. It is disappointing. It's absolutely terrible. But no, I mean like so I mean I yeah, I mean I don't know. I guess I'm giddy about the class that we just drafted. So
yeah.
So I think
there's a lot of good names.
So that I'm really looking forward to them, and I was like, I was really glad that we the way it ended. And I was like, oh, this is one of the better drafts that I feel like I've had. That's for sure. Like, and but yeah, I mean, buddy, you're a Voyager regardless. I'll tell you this, and this
yeah,
you know, this locker room is yours, man.
Been a great home for the past, God, how long has it been since
that draft? It's been seven seasons. Yeah.
It's been a while.
Yeah, and you know, like, yeah, and even, you know, to me, like, yeah, whether or not your player's on a team or not, this is your home. And so, you know, I'm not kicking you out anywhere. So
yeah, I appreciate that. It's just a question of, you know, is anyone going to give me the call? Because like I said, I'll at least sit it out this season. But if I get no offers going into season 36,
yeah,
then
your first regression is 12%. So that will take you down to,
that'll take me down to like 800 something, maybe
800 something, which
like eight, be, I think 80.
Yeah, which would be 7.25. That's the, so that, yeah. That, I mean, knocks so, off, it knocks off,
it a, knocks off, it a, knocks over off a mil, over a
and you know, and you're close on to 900, where after they signed you, like, you'll be back over 900.
Like, I could go, yeah, it just depends.
So I think it's
just a waiting game. That's basically how it goes.
So I think it might be worth it. We'll get your name back out there again. And this podcast,
hopefully people will see it. I might make an article, but yeah. I don't know. It's just the wait.
If you're a GM listening to this podcast,
I hope so.
Some price.
I will advertise you again towards the end of the season and remind everybody that you're out there. But either way, thank you for being a part of the team.
Yeah, man.
And I say that to everybody, but I really do mean it, and I do not take it for granted that people are on the team because I really wish I could have everybody from day one till the day they retire. Unfortunately, that's not realistic.
it's just not going to happen, you know.
But keep
as many as you can, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, we are at I told you we could fill time. We're at like 1:20, so
there we go.
Filling time is never the problem. So
we definitely filled it.
SD and Rampage, I thank you guys for being on and just hanging out, chatting.
Yeah, of course.
If there's anybody listening, thank you guys for being here and enjoy the rest of the off season. I'm looking forward to spring training and so all that stuff. And
awards coming up this awards Sunday, right?
Yeah, awards coming up this Sunday. So
the first time I can actually look at it and potentially.
I wish you the best. I don't know what will happen. The relievers tight. I would say that because there are just so many that are really good.
I think Shu actually put out a article.
Shu did, yes.
Like saying his award winners, and he said he was going back and forth between. It was me and who was it?
I would think it's Ron Lane.
Ron Lane with Akonomides, Khan, Marvel in the mix.
Yeah, there's like in terms of like numbers, and it's gonna depends on what people kind of look at. It's so tight. Like I don't like in the end, I'm pretty sure people are just flipping coin because it's just like I don't know how like what numbers are you looking at that because. But you know, either way, he did say
I would win it. So I don't know. I'm not getting super excited about it yet.
Well,
until I see the actual results, I won't get excited.
Yeah. Whether you win it or not, just you had a spectacular season, and I'm trying to think of potential
last season. At least I went out with a bang.
Hey, you went out with a bang. I did not expect us to win 68 games last season. People regressing and so forth. I did not expect that.
You said it was going to be tough, but I mean, we won the division.
And your player was a huge part of that. I mean, we're in the midst of a retool.
I pitched almost 90 innings.
We did have a deeper bullpen in terms of the amount of players in it, so it didn't pitch you as much as I thought that it could have, which is always kind of weird. I'm like, no matter what I did, I was like, no, they just really don't want you to break like that number. I've seen others where it broke like 100 easily, and I was like, I don't know what they did. I don't know why
they're just kind of some
I think it might be the way the sim uses the pen based on how it trusts the other arms as well, so Kobe and Jimbo were built pretty well too, so
I could pitch like inning and a half, but then I don't know, you could see Pettit, for example, no offense to him, he's a great guy, but not exactly the best pen arm.
He's low TPE and he's there and he did what he needed to do, but it did pitch him less than everybody else, but in the end, when you only have so many pen arms, it's going to use them.
You can't rely on one. You can't rely on like two pen arms the entire season.
No. And then that's so like there's a balance and the way, I mean, the funny thing is that how I play OOTP is that like my pen is always really strong, and that's how I like to build the team. And I kind of can't do that here just because it's not feasible. But
no, you just can't.
But yeah. I still want to and you know stuff as many arms as I can at any given time. So yeah, you are a huge part of that and while you know, I mean, in all fairness, we got beat by a Sloth team that was destined to win, and that was
destined to at bare minimum make the World Series, and probably had, I wouldn't be surprised if they were over 60% to win it.
I mean, oh no, they were way over. No, that Sloth team would have destroyed everyone on their way, except for Seattle, and because 80%. Seattle lost, you know, Seattle probably was the only team that really had a chance against a real legit chance against the Sloths,
more than just taking off a game or two.
Yeah, sort of I had hopes that I was like, oh, maybe just, you know, that one chance, you know, if people were hitting, and so it was just, you know, we won a game, we didn't get swept, so you know that's something.
Yeah. What was supposed to be a down year, we took a game off the champs.
So yeah, so it'll be interesting. I because this was the start of the retooling process, and we're gonna once again have a little bit ways to go, as we're bringing up we obviously have a few retirements, some regressions, and mainly we are bringing in new bats and arms, and which, you know, like, you know, it's not gonna be great overnight, so it's gonna take a little time, but I'm looking forward to it, and hopefully we still be able to win some games along the way and then really be building back up in a few seasons.
Ready to strike again.
Yep. Anyway, all right. Well, thank you, Gaul, and have yourself a good weekend, whatever have a good wedding. Since you're going to wedding, and
on Sunday, baby.
So well, that's it. I don't really. so I'm gonna end it there, and so everybody have a great day. So. Bye-bye.
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 Thanks for listening. If you are not yet a member of PBE and would like to learn more, visit us online at www.probaseballexperience.com. .jcink.net